Hey friend, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary. Here we are another week, another episode of our Bible study series. We call the Bible for Grown-Ups. In this episode, we're going to look at one of the more famous stories that a lot of us know from our childhood, growing up in the church. Story of Joshua and how the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. But we're going to look at this from an adult perspective and see what it actually has to teach us about faith and perseverance. Hey, I'll see you on the other side. All right, so tonight, we're going to go ahead and get started. Tonight, what I like to do, we're going to take an Old Testament story you probably have heard about, provide a little bit more background and context to that story so we actually understand what's going on a little bit better, and also maybe see that story from the perspective of our modern Christian perspective to see that not only can we learn more about the actual story that's in the Bible, the narrative, but we can perhaps contemplate ways in which we can apply that narrative, the lessons of that narrative, rather, to our lives. Tonight is called Stopping Short, and it's about getting promises from God that God wants you to receive. Let me start with a New Testament verse from the book of Hebrews 10 and 36. The writer of Hebrews says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what's promised. We need to persevere. I think it's a very powerful verse, and it speaks directly to me because I'm definitely one of those people that can get very gung-ho. I can go full blast, and then because things don't happen the way I want or in the time frame I want or whatever, I lose perseverance. I stop short. I don't end up receiving the promises that was promised. I think it's true in relationships. It's definitely true in the church. It's true in business. It's true in our spiritual growth. So I'd like to speak perhaps to somebody today. Maybe you know your heart has stopped short. Maybe you're on the verge of stopping short of something God's put inside your heart, something that maybe you know for sure God has spoke to, and you're about to give up on that. I want to let this speak to you. Something, a memory, a burning fire that might have faded. I'd like for this to speak to your heart. So, again, I'm using an Old Testament passage or Hebrew Scripture passage to illustrate this verse from Hebrews that we read. So it comes from the sixth book of the Bible. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. That's right. Right there, sixth book of the Bible. And I'm going to speak from the sixth chapter of the sixth book of the Bible. Joshua chapter 6 is an interesting portion of Scripture because this is where we begin to see how as God's people come into the land that God promised them, that granted them, that had been given them, that was theirs, but they weren't yet living there. They're on the precipice of gaining the promise, in this case, the land that was promised to them by God, but they're not there yet. And they find that as they begin to get closer and closer to these promises, rather than all of the doors just being thrown wide open because God's promise is now upon them, they actually find that they meet quite a bit of resistance. And that's exactly what I was talking about, right? Christ is supposed to be working in our lives. The peace of Christ, the joy of the Lord, the strength of God is supposed to be working in my life, but I'm still meeting resistance. And just because God promised something doesn't mean that we possess it yet. Now, in Joshua chapter 6, we get to see God's people as they're about to take possession of the promise. So let me read just a few verses. Joshua 6 verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, On the seventh day, we're going to come back to that in a moment. Keep that there. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them, make the sound of a long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a shout. Before you shout, you've got to go around 6 days, six times the same city. Then the walls will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. You're finally going to get what had been promised to Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob. You're finally going to get what had been promised to Moses, although Moses never gets to enter because he didn't go into the promised land because of his lack of faith. He only led the people out of Egypt. Joshua, you're finally going to go in, but first, there's work to do. You must march around the city for 6 days. And I think this passage shows us three reasons. I think there are at least three reasons in this text. But there are at least three I'd like to highlight today why people stop short. And I believe the stopping starts with this. I've noticed that so many people never actually receive the promises of God because they don't persevere. The first reason is because our perspective gets blocked. Our perspective gets blocked. I was studying a little bit about Jericho. You probably have, if you've been around the church, especially as a kid, right? This is exactly one of those stories that we like to talk about in the Bible for grown-ups. There was a song we learned as a kid. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. You guys know that song? Okay, all right, okay. I'm not going to sing any more of it. But perfect example, right? One of those stories that we know from the Bible because a sweet lady in VBS taught us the song. But we don't really know much about what's happening here. Jericho is the first city in the Promised Land. It's out on the frontier. If God had promised the people of Cushing, Creek County, drum right is Jericho, so to speak. Okay? The first, right on the edge, right at the border. So that's important for us to know. Because what this story, I think, will show us is often that first battle is the toughest. Often, in an effort for us to learn to persevere, often the first battle we faced is the hardest. Like going to the gym, lacing up your shoes, making it through the workout, sometimes just getting to that point is the hardest part of the actual thing, right? Now, the walls come tumbling down. We know that part of the story, but what this part of the, what that song, Joshua did this and they went around and the walls come tumbling down, what the song doesn't teach you, what your VBS teacher probably didn't teach you was, while this seemed very sudden, Joshua had been walking around in the desert at this point for 45 years. At this point in the story, Joshua had been in the wilderness for 45 years before ever actually just getting the opportunity to enter Jericho. Right? Jericho and the walls is not as simple as it's been made to sound. And sometimes I think when we see other people's victories, we oversimplify the process. Right? We see somebody succeed at something, and often we will just assume that it was easy for them. Right? He just fought the battle and the walls came tumbling down. Actually, it was the other way around. Jericho wasn't a very big city. Here's a little geography of the Bible for you. Jericho was actually a small city. You could march around it in about an hour, right? It wasn't that Jericho was so big. It's that their walls were so high. I'm going to camp out on that idea here in a minute, right? Because some of the stuff that's not happening in our lives, Some of the stuff that maybe you feel like God has promised you that you haven't received yet. Some of the stuff maybe you're even intimidated by. It's not really that it's bigger than you, because God's in you. He's bigger than any wall you'll face. It's that our perspective gets blocked because of how high the walls are. That's why it's wise to do things like come to church. Good job for making yourself available here, right? Because in these moments of community, sometimes it helps us to change our perspective so that we might see that our walls quite aren't as high as we think. Our perspective shifts beyond our opposition and our obstacles. As long as we're looking at the walls in our lives, as long as that's what most of us spend 6 days a week doing, just looking at walls, looking at setbacks, looking at roadblocks, looking at problems. I don't know why I'm roboting. But when you come to church, when you praise God with other people, it reminds you I'm not alone in this. I'm not on my own in this. I've got other people who are also pursuing God. There's something about praising God together. There's something about taking the effort to do it together, which will elevate our perspectives. It says in verse 1, it says, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one came in. Verse 2 says to Joshua, the Lord, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. Now, if we stop and read, those don't seem to go together, right? Let me show you why. My problem with verse 2 is verse 1. Because God tells Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho. They haven't taken once. This is verse 1, verse 2 of chapter 6 of this story. They haven't even taken one step around the walls yet. And the tense of this sentence is in the past form. It's about a battle that's already been decided that you haven't even fought yet. That's how strong our God is. That's how big our God is. That's how confident God is in his own abilities. He said, we haven't even started the first round, but I've already given it to you. Why? Because I'm God. Because I'm outside of space and time. I'm not stressed about the things that you humans are stressed about. I'm not popping Prozac about the economy. I've got this whole thing worked out. You know, I always like to think of it. It's not my idea, and I'm trying to think. I think it's actually from Andy Stanley, who gets it from his friend, I can't remember, another pastor, Giglio, down in Atlanta. He says, he likes to express it this way, that God rules the universe with his feet up. Right? Sometimes I don't think we can help it. Sometimes we forget. God isn't like running around the kitchen on Thanksgiving, on the morning of Thanksgiving, trying to get all the dishes prepared at the same time. Like, oh, I'm worrying about, is this pot ready? Is this pot ready? That, God rules the universe with his feet up. I think sometimes we just can't help but humanize that part of God that actually kind of undercuts some real understanding of his power. Verse 2 says, see, I've given Jericho into your hands. Verse 1 says, the gates of Jericho were securely barred. But God says, see, you've got this. And Joshua says, no, actually, all I see are the walls. All I see is a gate that's locked up and very tall walls. Have you ever felt like what you see with your eyes in your life doesn't match up with what you believe God has put on your heart? I certainly have. Have you ever felt like God is speaking to you about victory, but you feel defeated? Have you ever felt like God was speaking to you about healing, but inside you feel broken? Empathetic part of me sometimes as a pastor is knowing that it would be almost impossible for anyone to actually admit this to me, perhaps. But knowing that there are people that listen to it, that worship with us, that listen to the words that we say together, listen to the words that I speak. And that's exactly how they feel. They know, their reasoned mind understands what we talk about when we talk about victory in Christ, but inside they feel broken. And they feel disaffected by what's happening. And they're trying, but it just doesn't seem to add up. And that's heartbreaking because one, I know what that feels like. And two, because it doesn't have to be that way. Secondly, I think a lot of us stop short because our progress doesn't always seem obvious. Okay, so God speaks to Joshua. He says, march around the walls for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march seven times. It's going to be awesome. I promise the walls are going to come down. So Joshua calls the people together, right, for six. I'm going to show you something, I hope, super cool. Bible is amazing to me in this way, right? If you don't read your Bible, man, really, honestly. Joshua, verse 6, summons the priests and says to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. They get the instruction to start marching. Joshua, after he told the people, verse 8, says, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant followed them. So they're making progress, right? Progress. Feels good to make progress. Don't you just love progress? I do. Don't you just love seeing things beginning to go in the right direction in your life? For me, that is imperative. If I don't see even the smallest amount of progress in something I believe in or want to do, I will just completely become immediately over-frustrated, disinterested. So it's about even the smallest amount of progress. I think we're all like that in a way. The armed guard, verse 9, marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army to not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once, and the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. And they did this for 6 days. Now, okay, so we've heard the story. Let's get into the story. Because I want us to, if we take just a second and put on our emotions hat, I want us to feel what these men might have felt. What they were thinking while they thought they were about to charge into a city and wage hand-to-hand combat war. Ancient warfare, bloody, scary, violent war. But all these soldiers did was march around the wall. 6 days, warriors anticipating battle every day, just out taking a walk. If I were God, if I were orchestrating this miracle, if I was writing Joshua chapter 6, and I had this group of fighting men, and I wanted them to march around the wall 6 times, and on the 7th time, I'm going to let the walls collapse, and I want to keep them motivated, let me tell you what I'm going to do, right? If this was my plan, and this is how it needed to go down, here's how I would handle it. I'm going to give them a little sign every time they go around for one lap. Some sort of sign, some sort of word of encouragement, some sort of trust in the long-term plan here, fellas. A drink of water as they go by, a little something, a little sign to tell my warriors you're doing good. Maybe even you walk a day and 1/7 of the wall crumbles. Incremental progress. Incremental wall demolishment, whatever you call that. But incrementally, I would show you, right? Like Tetris. That's how I would want the walls to disappear in my mind, because I would need to see something happening as I was working, something to motivate me to stay in motion. I don't mind working hard. I don't mind sacrificing. I don't mind putting up with stuff. But I need to know that my pain has a purpose, that it's serving a purpose. There's some sort of point to all of this. I'm sure we all kind of feel that way. But the Bible doesn't say they walked around the first day and a little bit of the wall fell down. And they walked around the second day and a little bit more. That would have been so intrinsically motivating, yes? Like, look, we got something done today. Something was accomplished. Instead, if you're one of these fighting men, right? You come back to your tent, to your wife. After the first night, right? You know they've set up camp. They didn't go home, right? So you've come back to your camp, and your wife goes, hey, how did it go today? Right? When are we going in? Did you guys win? What's it like in there? Is it amazing? Who'd you kill today, my little warrior man? Right? Actually, babe, we didn't fight today. It was kind of more like spring training, preseason. We just went for a walk. Stretching out. But tomorrow, I'll bet tomorrow, that is like a warm-up lap. But tomorrow, I think Joshua is maybe just trying to get us acclimated to our environment, getting our muscles stretched out, get a vision for what's going to happen. So you come home, day two, right? This happens for 6 days. And you've been walking around in the wilderness for 45 years, and now you're looking at it, the land. You can see the land, but you can't go in. So on the second day, you come home, and your wife's like, how was it today? How was your day? You know, babe, Joshua, somebody needs to talk to him. But he won't let us talk at all. He told us we all had to keep our mouths shut. He told us we couldn't say anything. He told us we had to march in silence 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. No action. Right. Oh, I haven't even told you this part yet, because this is the part that blew my mind. You know, God told Joshua that after 6 days, on the seventh day, that the walls were going to fall down. Well, guess what Joshua did not tell the people? Didn't tell them that. The people of Israel are doing what Joshua is saying. Joshua knows on the seventh day God has promised the walls to fall. Scripture doesn't record that Joshua told the people this. They don't know on the seventh. They don't know. This is an entire act of both faith and perseverance. Joshua does not give them all of the details. He just says, march. Keep your mouths shut, and I'll tell you when to do something. He doesn't tell them how long. He doesn't tell them how many laps. So it's not like they go back to their tents and they're like, okay, 5 more days of this, 4 more days of this. No. For all I know, I'm going to take a walk every morning for the rest of my life. For all I know, our general Joshua has lost his mind. For all I know, this man might think that we're now a marching band. I didn't sign up for band. What's up with the trumpets, right? I have a sword here. The third reason I think sometimes we stop short, number three, is because God's process feels so often very open-ended. Right? You work out in your house. There's a clock on the wall. Why? Because you need to know how much more of this foolish ignorance, crazy business I've got to put up with. I know at the end of 30 minutes, I can get off this treadmill. Right? That's not, it, wouldn't it be nice if when God puts stuff on our hearts that that's the way that it works out? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a time limit on when we could expect our dreams, our prayers, God's promises to come true to us? Right? Wouldn't it be so much easier if God would be like, look, I am going to give you the direction in your life professionally, spiritually. I'm going to put you in a great position financially, but you're going to have to work these plans and you're going to have to buckle down and work hard to get everything set up to be that person. Right? Wouldn't it be great if God goes, and it'll only take 2 years? Right? That would be so easy for me. That would be so motivating for me. I believe in God's promises. I could go home and tell my wife, honey, we just work hard for 2 years and everything's going to be okay. I believe it. That's not how God works. Right? I could do 2 years, God. I've got two things working against me. Three things. I've got walls. I can't even see what I'm pursuing, what I'm fighting, what it's going to be like. I've got problems. I don't have progress. I'm marching around the walls. Nothing's happening. Which, by the way, I have a theory. The reason why the walls didn't fall down a little bit at the time is because Joshua didn't want the men to trust their efforts on their progress. He, God, wanted the men to have faith in his promise. Sometimes I think God will let us walk around the walls of a situation where it doesn't seem like things are working because he wants us to know to trust he's working. Even when what we're doing doesn't seem like it is working. Will you still pray? Will you still have faith? Will you still believe even after 6 days when the walls have not come tumbling down? God wants to know, will you continue to serve me when nobody appreciates you? Will you still show up even when you don't feel like you're making a difference? Will you still? I think is a question God, out of his love for us, wants us to answer. Will you march just because I told you to? Not because you saw benefit of it, not because you saw progress. I have a philosophy that we would work out all day and we would eat well if we saw the results of eating well and working out as we were working out and eating well, right? Like, eat a piece of broccoli, get an ab, right? I'd be straight grinding on broccoli. God wants to know, will you still? Because friends, this is the essence of faith. And this is what this story has to teach us. Because it was walking around the walls of Jericho that would prepare them to fight the giants once they got in the promised land. It was what God had to do on the inside. We are so convinced of what God wants to do for us is the most important thing. I'm wondering sometimes if God doesn't send us walking around walls because of what he wants to do in us must become before what he wants to do through us. My message today, some of us are on lap number 6 and we don't even know it. Right? At least NASCAR has a counter on the screen. It says how many laps are left. Lets the drivers know and they pace themselves. Life doesn't always tell us how many laps are left. I wonder how many people gave up on their marriage, gave up on their personal ministry, gave up on their kids, gave up on God, and they were on lap 6 and they didn't even know it. That's the message tonight. Don't stop on 6. You are closer than you think you are. Don't stop on lap 6. You might be tired. It might not make sense. You might look ridiculous. You might be tired of blowing a trumpet. But don't stop on 6. If you walk every lap like it's your last, believing in God, God will perform. He's promised he will. If you walk every lap like it's your last, one day, you are going to be right. One day, you're going to be right. You need to persevere so that after you've received the promise will prepare you so that you can live in the promised land. Any questions? Awesome. Well, thanks, guys.
You know, tonight's lesson definitely speaks to me personally because, in complete honesty, I have been that person who has stopped on six so many times. There have been so many times where I just lacked the perseverance to push through for what God had for me. It's something I regret, something I can't take back, and something that I have to acknowledge that I must continue to work on. The good news is, it took Joshua 45 years to finally get it right. Which means maybe there's a little bit of hope for me, maybe for you too. Something to think about. Hey, we'll be back next week, and until then, friend, be blessed.